I'm Karen Hartglass, and you're listening to It's All About Food. Hi, how are you? It is May 7th, 2013. It's a beautiful spring day in New York, and I'm so glad to be here. I've been on this crazy whirlwind three-state tour the last few weeks. We were in California, as you know, premiering the Swingin' Gourmets, and that was so much fun a few weeks ago. And if you're curious or want the Swingin' Gourmets to come to you, just let me know, because what we're wanting to do is spread this message about delicious plant-based food and making it fun and making it swing. Send me an email at info@realmeals.org. And, you know, you can always send me an email at info@realmeals.org about anything, well, related to food, because that's my favorite subject. Okay. So then after California, I was in Florida. I gave a whole bunch of talks. And the thing that I realize over and over again, I'm always so excited about what's going on in the food movement. There are so many wonderful, wonderful things happening. And then I step outside of my box, my world, and I get back into reality, and I realize there's a lot more work that needs to be done. So we stick to it. And I want to bring on my first guest who's really making strides in this food movement. This is a major game changer. Josh Tetrick is the CEO and founder of Beyond Eggs, a sustainable food company. He's a social entrepreneur, writer, and speaker. He has led a United Nations business initiative in Kenya. He has worked for both former President Clinton and the president of Liberia, Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, and taught street children as a Fulbright scholar in Nigeria and South Africa. Josh is a graduate of Cornell University and the University of Michigan Law School. Welcome to It's All About Food.
Thank you, Karen. Good to be here.
Yeah. Okay. So my sound is a little funny here, so I hope it gets better.
I can hear you. Okay. Can you hear me?
Oh,
okay?
Hi. That sounds better.
There we go.
There we go. All this high tech. I love high tech, but sometimes it gets a little loopy. Well, Josh, thank you for joining me on It's All About Food. You are doing something amazing for the planet with Hampton Creek Foods and Beyond Eggs. And I'm so excited about the products that you're coming up with and all of the press that you've been getting as well.
Thank you. I think what it is, and you feel it when you're out there, that there's a sense, and this relates to what we think about and feel every single day, that our food system is just broken. And it's so broken, it's almost absurd how broken it is. And some people are aware of it. And, you know, we look out there, and it's not just in the U.S., but it's around the world, too. It's broken because of how damaging it is to our health, rising rates of diabetes and heart disease. It's broken because of its impact on the environment. It's broken because of how rough it is on animals. And when we look out there, you know, our first idea is, you know, where do we start? And we decided as a company to start out with the egg industry, because for us, it's really the epitome of invisible unsustainability. I'll tell you a couple reasons why. Number one, it's massive. About 1.8 trillion eggs are laid every single year around the world. Trillion eggs. And whether you're in Birmingham, Alabama, where I was raised, or you're in Beijing, China, 99% of all of these eggs come from exactly the same place. These disgusting, filthy industrial warehouses packed with egg-laying hens crammed into cages so small they can't flap their wings. All these hens are fed all of this feed that requires all this land and water and oil and fertilizer, which is part of the reason it's so environmentally inefficient. Avian flu outbreaks happen because of the confinement of the egg-laying hens. And we just look at that, and honestly, we just shake our head. We just think, is this really the 21st century? do we really have to, you know, get our eggs from this antiquated system? This is like horse and buggy day. So what we're, our goal at Hampton Creek is to take the animal entirely out of the equation, to take the egg-laying hen in these crammed, filthy conditions out of the equation and replace her egg with plants that do exactly the same thing as her egg does whether it's buying the cookie or make a muffin rise or hold oil and water together mayonnaise, and also pretty soon actually create a plant-based scrambled egg. And we've been lucky enough in the last year or so to have been selected by Bill Gates, one of three companies shaping the future of food, and are really excited about, you know, all the joy that people have around what we're doing.
It's very exciting. I like to quote my dad from time to time. He likes to say, if you can't solve the problem, eliminate the problem. And you've done just that. You've eliminated the problem portion of this food product, and that's the chicken and everything that is surrounding how we raise chickens for eggs today.
Yeah. Your dad, we have a little motto that we love here by this guy named Buckminster Fuller. He's a futurist,
sure.
And he talks about this idea of, you know, you can fight back at an absurd system in a lot of ways, but one way that you can fight back on it is to create a whole new system that makes that system obsolete. And
exactly,
you know,
I think
your dad has the right idea.
And that's part of solving so many problems. People can't see beyond the conflict, but what they need to see is they need to take a completely different path. Now, one of the things people often say is that we can't afford to do things differently with our energy problem, with our food problem, but it seems like with what you're doing with your company is it's actually going to be more economical to use your product.
Yeah, and when you think about it, part of the reason it actually is more economical, we're about 18% less expensive than those battery cage eggs. So this is not 18% less expensive than cage-free eggs, or 18% less expensive than free-range eggs. It's 18% less expensive than the most unsustainable, environmentally inefficient, cruel, abusive, unsafe eggs. And there's a big reason why. We don't have the animal involved in our process. And the animal, you know, whether you look at it because you care about the animal or whether you look at it because you care about economic efficiency, the animal, in this case an egg-laying hen, is getting stuffed, as we're speaking right now, with soy and corn. Right this second, hundreds of millions of egg-laying hens are gobbling up soy and corn, and 70% of the cost of every single egg comes directly from the feed that we give the chickens. So we just think that's crazy, and we just say, just grow it instead.
Exactly. It seems so obvious. Now, I've watched a few videos on your company, and you've got this great factory with a lot of wonderful scientists doing a variety of different jobs. Maybe you could talk a little bit about what's going on at Hampton Creek Foods.
Yeah, part of what we realized in starting this endeavor is, you know, there's so much innovation on our iPhone. You know, you can actually tell someone's blood count and heart rate through iPhone applications. But when it comes to innovation, in the food, man, it is a stark landscape. So what we tried to do in bringing together a team is bring people who don't necessarily have a deep experience in food, but are amazing scientists, together with people who do have a really deep experience in food. And a good example is we have a guy named Joshua Klein, who heads our protein team. And Joshua has a degree from Caltech in biochemistry, used to work with the Nobel laureate on a program to find a cure for AIDS and HIV. And Josh works side by side our chef, this guy named Chris Jones. He doesn't know a whole lot about biochemistry, but is a wickedly creative chef. He used to work for a restaurant called Modo, which was named Food & Wine's Best Restaurants for 2 years in a row. And they work alongside a woman named Shweta Rao, who's our director of baking, who spent a number of years in Otis Funkmeyer. So that's the idea in creating this team, is we want to bring radically different perspectives together to try to search the world's plant species, because only about 8% of them actually have been explored for their functionality in food. I mean, it is just a wide open area. And we spend every single day searching and then plugging those plants into things like mayonnaise and cookies and even scrambled eggs.
Well, I think we can make food taste even better than what we've been used to. Now, can I ask you a question? I saw in this one video where you taste conventional foods made with eggs, and then you try and duplicate them made with your product. Where do you get your eggs from that you compare your product with?
So because we are you know, really trying to be apples to apples. We do use the exact same egg that the company that we're working with is using, just to show them that we don't have an unfair advantage. So some of your listeners might know that free-range eggs or barn eggs are actually, they taste better even than regular eggs, which would actually give us an advantage if we were comparing it. So the eggs that we use in our experiments are actually the bad eggs, which is kind of an unfortunate side effect of our work. But in order to be compelling when we present the data, we compare the really unsustainable eggs in muffins or cookies or mayonnaise or ranch dressing or what have you directly to our product. And it kind of relates to our central goal that someone like my dad, who I love to death, but, you know, my dad didn't care a whole lot about climate change or egg-laying hen welfare. He just wants a good muffin or cookie or mayonnaise that's nice and creamy. And our goal is to give him something that actually tastes better. Not the same, but better.
Better.
And is less expensive. And the cool thing about plants is, you know, it's almost an accident of nature that the end result of a hen's ovulation cycle does all these amazing things in food. It does. It does incredible things in food. But the thing about an egg is, it is what it is. It causes the muffin to rise or be moist in a particular way, or it holds oil and water together in mayonnaise for, you know, so many months. But with plants, man, you can go beyond. You really can. You can make mayo actually last longer. You can make it creamier. You can make the muffin rise more, or actually be moister. So some of what we're doing now is actually going beyond it, and not just trying to replicate. We're done with the whole replication. And now we're thinking more and more about how can we be better? How can we, you know, convince someone like my dad, not only is he going to save money, but the cookie actually tastes, feels better than the cookies he's used to eating every single day.
Well, you don't have to convince me, but there's a whole world out there that you need to convince. I've been a vegan for 25 years, and I spent a lot of time in the kitchen. I love to cook and create great recipes, and I love to feed my friends and neighbors who aren't vegan or vegetarian and have them go nuts over the food that we make here. I know that the power of plants, and I know that we can make incredible tasting food compassionately, sustainably. But you mentioned your dad, and I'm really into a primarily whole or minimally processed diet, and a lot of us that are in this food movement are going in that direction. But there's a huge population that doesn't mind eating a lot of industrial processed food, and they don't care what's in it. They don't know what's in it. Occasionally they hear about pink slime on the radio and they get a little nutty, but for the most part, nobody knows what's in their food. They don't even know if it's egg or not egg.
No, that's true. And, you know, when you really step back and you realize the magnitude of the problem, just with eggs, 1.8 trillion eggs laid every single year, and that number is going up. It's not going down. And as, you know, as exciting as I think the flexitarian and vegan and vegetarian more sustainable food movement is in the United States, every day, every single day, the percentage of eggs from battery cage facilities in our food system increases every single day. And that's mostly what's happening in China and developing countries. I mean, we have a nation of 300 million people, and that's just a tiny percentage of all the people on the planet here. And you're right, the vast majority of people aren't looking. They're not paying attention to it. I think, you know, our central question that, you know, radiates in our brain every single day is, with the world exploding to 9.5 billion people by 2050, according to UN reports, how do you create a world in which human beings thrive, have enough protein, have cheap protein, cheap food, without ripping up the environment, without massively abusing animals, without sucking up all the world's water? And part of the solution, I think, is plant-based food companies and plant-based approaches to this really vexing problem.
My background's in chemical engineering, and I always wanted to believe that I could do good things with it. And there have been lots of great things that have been done with chemistry, and then some ugly things that have been done. And a lot of the ugly things have been related to food. So it's really good to know that science is being used to do something good.
And what we do with science is, you know, it's not, we're not doing in vitro meat. We're not doing DNA splicing. We're not doing synthetic engineering. You know, maybe it would be better for popular science if we would, but we're not doing that. What we're doing is sort of acknowledging that we have a world of plants out there, and the vast majority of those plants are entirely unexplored. It's almost an accident in terms of the plants that we've decided to use in our food products. And we search aggressively all of those plants, we characterize them, we understand their functionalities, and then we work in a really creative way with our culinary team to bring them together. But it's probably a lot more natural and, you know, from the ground than it comes off.
Here's a chicken and the egg question for you. You mentioned Bill Gates and how you were mentioned. I read it in the food for the future at the Gates Notes.
Yep.
Where they mention you, and they also mention a company, Beyond Meat.
Yep.
So there's Beyond Meat and there's Beyond Chicken. Who came first, Beyond Meat or Beyond Chicken? Are you related somehow?
No. Well, we're actually around at least the name first, but you know, they do a lot of good work. My buddy Ethan Brown is a founder there, and they're doing a lot of positive work, and have been really successful with their really awesome product, which is actually really, really good.
Yeah, absolutely. And what do you think about people that are raising chickens on their own in the backyard?
You know, I got to say, if that was our food system, if the eggs that were being produced were from backyard chickens and they were laying eggs, and the eggs and the meats and the chicken that we eat for meat were in people's backyards, I definitely would be doing something else. I spent about 7 years of my life in sub-Saharan Africa working on poverty alleviation, working on environmental sustainability, working on water scarcity issues in some of the poorest places in the world. And I'm personally very driven and focused to find solutions for the most urgent needs, the most urgent needs facing, you know, not only this country but around the world. And, you know, that is really the limited exception, people doing that. And I think it is much better than 99.7% of where eggs and chickens come from. And it's, you know, frankly, our company's goal is, if people end up doing that, you know, that's their business. We're more focused on, you know, where the massive impact is and where the ability to have really wide scale and deep changes, and that's conventional egg production.
So can we get Beyond Egg products in our stores yet? Or is this available for industry only?
Yeah, both. So it's available for industry right now. We'll be in a number of different grocery stores within the next 3 months. But right now, if anyone is interested in really staying in touch with what we're up to, if you just go to HansonCreekFoods.com, you can sign up. We send out a weekly note to everyone, and we'll update you on where you can find all of our products.
Is there a story behind Hampton Creek?
There is. My best friend in the world lost his dog a while ago, and his dog was named Hampton. And it was really the only time I've ever seen him cry. And he was the inspiration behind this idea and really getting me to think about where our food comes from. And it's a way of recognizing him and his role in making this happen. And then we added Creek on the end of it because it sounds like a regular old food company.
Right. It certainly does. Now, what about yourself? When did you start on this vegan path and discovering the power of plants?
I'm 33 now. I've been vegetarian since I was 21. I played football at West Virginia University. And as soon as I stopped playing football, I became vegetarian. And that's, you know, pretty much all due to the impact of my best friend talking to me about how animals are raised.
Mm-hmm.
And I always, you know, the way I like to think about it is, you know, when you look at a mother pig in a gestation crate or an egg-laying hen in a battery cage, you know, besides the suffering element, which is obviously just hits you in the face, you know, what really moves me is just how absurd it is. It just, it doesn't seem to align with where the world is. It seems like it's so yesterday. In so many areas of my life, I try to be today and I try to be tomorrow. And it just seems so yesterday. And you know, since I was 21, I've really been trying to make sure my values and the values that I talk about are aligned with what goes in my mouth.
Well, I appreciated what you said before about working on something that is so big and needs to be changed sooner than later. All factory farming needs to go away. And I'm not quite sure how that's going to happen, if there's a way, maybe Beyond Meat is the company or a number of others, to eliminate the animal for meat as well as eliminating the animal for egg.
Yeah.
But these things need to end, period. It's probably Definitely. The worst thing humanity has ever created.
Definitely.
And I had a question, and it slipped away. Okay. Well, other than what you're doing now, do you have some future ideas, or you're just focusing on the egg concept?
We're pretty focused. We'll probably take this and do something else with it after we have the impact that we all want to have. But for right now, it's all about the egg.
You know, it's all about the egg, but it's also all about money. And a lot of us have lots of ideas about how to get people to eat healthier or make this a more compassionate world, but it takes money to make change. So you've got this great business going, but there had to be some incredible investors and supporters to get behind this project.
Yeah, I think, you know, you can really, you know, for those out there that have ideas about doing something, I think there are kind of two ways to do it, and we picked the second. And the first is to really lean into an idea in an incremental way. So to really test it, not spend a whole lot of money on it, and to begin selling. Maybe it could be online or at your local farmer's market or, you know, depending what sector you're in, just to test it. And sometimes you don't need a whole lot of investment for a lot of ideas, depending on what the needs of the business are. And there's actually a great book called The Lean Startup that talks about how there's a word they use called ooching, how you sort of ooch into an idea. And then the second approach is more similar to what we did. One's, I don't think, necessarily better than the other, is we had an idea, and I gathered a team together, and then we were lucky enough to work with an investment partner at Coastal Ventures, which is all about solving some of the world's most pressing problems. And they decide to back us because they see that it's a broken industry and it really needs change. But I think both approaches work. And I think, you know, the worst approach would be the third, just thinking you can't do it because you don't have the connections or the network or the resources or yada, yada, yada. Mostly that's probably yes. You can figure out how to do it.
Right. And I think part of it is what you mentioned at the beginning of the show, and that is to just create something completely different.
Yeah. And then a little game we like to play with ourselves is, you know, what would happen if we didn't do what we're trying to do in 30 days? If the world or the person you care about most or something that you really want was gone, like, how would you approach this differently? If everything mattered, and how would I have raised more money for this if I didn't raise a certain amount and the world vanished? Would I, you know, be able to close these deals if, you know, nothing else mattered? And it gives our team, I think, a real intensity of focus. And I think for any of your listeners out there that really want to start something, you know, as intense as you think you might need to be about it, try to up it by about 20, because it really requires an almost obnoxious and absurd intensity to make something like this happen.
Very good advice. I know with myself, there's just too many things I want to do. And I know for making a business happen, you really need to focus on that one thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I tend to spread myself all over the place. But there's a lot of things that need to be done, and I like to do a lot of different things. Well,
there,
Josh, thank you so much for joining me on It's All About Food. You are amazing, and your company is amazing, and I look forward to seeing very positive changes because of Beyond Eggs.
Terrific. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Well, wasn't that something else? I can't wait to see what happens when Beyond Eggs takes over the egg industry. Let's see it happen. I am Karen Hartglass. You're listening to It's All About Food. Take a look at responsibleeatingandliving.com. That's my website. And there's so many recipes up there that do not use eggs. Certainly, for decades now, we've been figuring out how to use some very simple egg alternatives that work really well in the home. And you can find them at responsibleeatingandliving.com. And we're going to take a quick little break, and then we're going to be talking with David Bednarik, who wrote the book Talking Back to Dr. Phil, Alternatives to Mainstream Psychology, and I can't wait.